Well, now, we're going to start in a couple of weeks' time. What, in effect, is a story, actually more than a story, which is, well, I think after the Bible, probably is still the same, it certainly was a few years ago, the most read book. Now, which book is that? Quite an old book, a relatively old book, Stanley. Pilgrim's Progress, right? Pilgrim's Progress. We're going to start it today, we're going to start it in a few weeks' time. Who wrote it? Who wrote it? Grace. John Bunyan. Anybody tell me roughly when he was alive? Stanley. Coming round that way there, certainly is. He was born actually 1628. Do you know which county he was born in? Bedfordshire. There we are, Bedfordshire. So, kind of home counties, that sort of area there. Bedfordshire, and in a place called Bunyan's End, appropriately. You know, it's not far from Bedford or the outlying village of Elstow. So, he was born, not a particularly wealthy family, and he writes a bit about that in his autobiography, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. And he describes his father. Do you know what his trade was? What his job was, Timothy?
Was he a tinker?
He was a tinker. What does a tinker do? What does a tinker do? What does he mend? What does he mend? There we are. He mends things. What? Tell you, pots and pans, all right? Pots and pans. Did other bits of metalwork. That's what his father did. And eventually, actually, John Bunyan started out in that trade as well. So, there he was. And he was, well, christened, as people were, and still are, aren't they, these days, in the Anglican Church. Now, big event was going on. So in 1644, at the age of 16, he joined the army. Why? What was happening around that period? What was happening? A bit of history here. Timothy?
English Civil War.
It was the English Civil War. So, what we call the parliamentarians, representing their sort of rights of the people and not being sort of bullied around. By whom? By whom?
Timothy, the king.
The king, who at that time was... Oh, Timothy.
Charles I.
Charles I, okay. So he was trying to kind of get taxes that he wanted to do some of his campaigns. And he was rather sympathetic towards, well, the Roman Catholic faith, okay. And the parliamentarians weren't happy with him at all. So he was using his powers and trying to tell everybody what to do and that he was right, you're wrong, you should do what I tell you as the king. Well, we are, sums up a bit of history there, doesn't it? A few kind of trite phrases. But anyway, so a civil war followed. And John Bunyan enlisted for it. And he was in a garrison town called Newton Pagnell. It's got a service station today, hasn't it? But anyway, there we are. So Newton Pagnell. And he saw a bit of action there. In fact, one day he was due to go and be involved in some action. And somebody else said, well, that's all right, I'll go in your place. What do you think happened to that fellow? What do you think happened to him? What do you think happened to this fellow? Any ideas there? Kind of looking there. Grace? He did. He got shot. And that quite shocked John Bunyan. And on another occasion, he sort of fell into a river and nearly died there. So he got quite shaken up by these things. When he came out of the army, and a couple of years later, he married a young woman. In fact, a young woman known for her faith in God. We think her name's Mary. We don't know for sure. He describes this wife that he married, his first wife, but he doesn't tell us what her name is. But we think it was Mary. Initials are found in one of the books that she brought with her, which still survives. Another one, unfortunately, got burned in a fire. So they had a daughter, and her name was also Mary. There was something about her. She had a disability. Do you know what that was? Do you know what that was? Charlotte. She was blind. She was blind. Okay. So anyway, they cared for their young child. But John Bunyan was not exactly the model husband to his wife. And he was a chappy there who swore a lot, okay? And he would drink a fair bit. Indeed, hopefully he'd packed a lot of this up, but before he married, he was with all the wrong people. In fact, I think a bit of this actually continued after he got married, but with the wrong people. He was not a good man in that way at all. So he lived that kind of life. But these books that they had in the house, but these two books, really were searching books. And they were asking, what about the state of your soul? Okay, what about the state of your soul? And they were quite probing. And they made you think a little bit. Heaven, about hell, made you think a bit. So these were there. And he had those to hand. And he was attending the church. And on this particular day, the preacher was asking them, well, what about what you do on a Sunday? Well, John Bunyan did what he liked on a Sunday. He would play at this, have a game of that, and these various games there. Tip Cat, I think one of them was called, and he had to whack this stick somewhere there on the village green, and various other things like that. And so he was really quite careless about the day and what he did. So he began to really wrestle with this, and he began to think a bit about this, and this really kind of struck him there. And so he was on one of these village greens one day, playing one of these games. It was as though a voice came from heaven. Wilt thou leave thy sins and go to heaven? Wilt thou keep thy sins and go to hell? Was absolutely riveted by this and struck by this and shocked by this. And he thought about himself. So he thought, right, I'm going to sort of sort out my life a bit here. I'm going to work a bit harder and I'm going to sort of pack up some of the things I'm doing. That is what I shall do. And I'm going to then get into a right relationship by God. I'm going to do it there by not doing all of these things. Now, what is that called? Trying to be saved, go to heaven by being like that, Timothy?
Good work salvation.
Well, good work salvation, yeah, or begins with L. New term here, perhaps, for you. Legalism. Legalism, all right? Legal, that's to do with the law, right? I'll obey the law. I will go to heaven. God will be pleased with me because I am keeping the law. His law, Ten Commandments. Look, I'm doing better on a Sunday. Smartened up my act. And so he went on in that way. But he had no peace of mind. No peace of mind. Because we can't have peace of mind by doing that. Why? Why can we never have peace of mind by legalism as a way of salvation? Why can we never, never have peace of mind, Timothy?
We can never live up to the standards of the law.
Because we can never live up to the standards of the law. God's perfections. God's perfections. We will never, never reach as high as that. So this was a doomed enterprise. So he really, he was beginning to unravel a little bit with this. And he knew this just was not working out properly here. So he was doing his trade and he carried his pots and pans with him. And one day, racing quite quickly through his life here, because we're going to come to Pilgrim's Progress in a couple of weeks' time, but just setting the scene with his life here a little bit. And one day, he was in the town of Bedford. There was a meeting place there, right? A meeting place of nonconformists. Nonconformists. Well, what are these people about? What are these people? What are these nonconformists? Anybody there? Actually, if I said, we are nonconformists.
They were breakaways from the Anglican Church.
That's it. Well, they stood apart from the Anglican Church. They didn't believe in bishops and archbishops and kind of these people telling you here and the kind of queen or the king as being the head of the church. Because God's the head, Christ's the head of the church, and the church there can be independent of that and read the Bible for itself and with its own sort of conscience there, find its way to know what God's will is for the church and her organisation. Not being sort of bullied around, if you will, by sort of bishops and anybody else, some of whom, of course, aren't even Christians. So what do they really know about the Bible and how to live according to it? So these people, and there were some women folk from one of these meeting places, and they were talking. John Bunyan could overhear them. He could hear what they were saying. And he stopped and listened in on this conversation because they were talking about how they had found salvation. And they're talking about how Jesus Christ, how they believed in him and known that he died on the cross and that through that they had believed in him and been forgiven and found something that John Bunyan just did not have. Assurance. Assurance. They felt peace now with God. We have peace now with God. We're not afraid now of hell and being condemned by him. We have found that special thing, peace with God. And they were talking about this, and they were talking about this, and John Bunyan, of course, had none of this. And they had joy and such things, and John Bunyan had none of this. And so he was mighty perplexed by this. So, having been for ages in such anguish of soul and concerned about heaven and hell and where he was, he went to the meeting place where they go to. And there was a minister there called John Gifford. And he had been quite a character himself. He was a convict in prison and was due to be hung. And his wife went to visit him one day, and when he was in prison, due to be hung, and all the guards were drunk. And so they sort of tiptoed out of prison. Nobody noticed. And he eventually, because he'd lived then, he didn't really thank God for his deliverance. He lived pretty rough again. But then he was converted. And then he became a minister and a preacher. And he was the preacher at this church. And John Bunyan went and heard him preach. And of course, God began to work in John Bunyan's life. And so he was converted. And he used to spend a lot of time talking with John Gifford. And he would ask questions of him, and they get answers to those questions. And so then, really, well, then it wasn't always easy. He had loads of questions and loads of concerns and worrying about himself and where he stood and whether he's really a Christian and things, you know, that Christians often worry about. And then they encouraged him, be a preacher, be a preacher. And so he began to preach. This then is really what he felt God had called him to do. So we'll leave his story there and finish it next week. And then, because that gives us a bit of background to Pilgrim's Progress, and we'll understand a little bit more clearly why he does some of the things he does in this particular story. And then we'll follow it through and just see how his life story kind of is quite a lot of it woven in to Pilgrim's life story as well. So John Bunyan, we'll just put him there for the now, and then we'll come back to him, God willing, next week. So we'll sing our second hymn now, which is 210. Here is love vast as the ocean. 210.